All right, good to be with you again today. I'm glad you're here. I would like for you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, the 6th chapter. And we've been speaking somewhat on prayer in the last couple of weeks. I'd like to continue that at least this Sunday, and then we'll probably deviate next time. And turn my mic on, and we will be better off, won't we? Now, we have in this chapter the model prayer, and I want to read it to you. In verse 9, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." I'm going to read that last phrase, the middle part of 13. "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." And let's ask God to bless us this morning. Father, thank you for this hour of Bible study, and encourage us through it, and strengthen us and direct us, correct us. What we need, Lord, you know, and we pray that you would do that which is needed in our life today. Thank you for the Bible. Lord, help us to have such confidence in it that every word that we read would be, Lord, considered very strongly and believed. Help us, Lord, to see what those words are, what they mean. And, Lord, not just in the intellect, but, Lord, especially in that spiritual area where we walk with Thee. Speak to us today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, I want to just kind of make a statement of introduction. Much of the so-called Christian culture of today, by the way, much of it is not Christian. I'm sad to say, but the Christian culture is often, in our day, a focus upon man rather than a focus upon God. And what we have in that, then, is a great weakness and probably many seeds of destruction to future generations. A culture that is focused upon man rather than God. Now, you see, if I just said that, you would say, that's a terrible thing. And yet, we oftentimes practice that. We're focusing upon man. If you do not believe that, just listen to a lot of things that Christians say or what their conversation is about. It's oftentimes about our problems. It's oftentimes about our feelings. It's oftentimes about the difficulties that we face, things that we would want to happen. And that's oftentimes the what captures our mind in our thinking and in our conversation. And that's a very sad thing, because it really is the opposite of the biblical way. And I want to hopefully help you look at that today. Now, because of this culture, many would wonder, what is the purpose of these words in the model prayer? We just read that last phrase. "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now, that's very similar, really, to the beginning of the prayer when it says, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." The focus in the beginning of this model prayer is, the focus is upon God. And then when the prayer ends, the focus again is upon God. Now, and sandwiched in between are the needs that we have, that we ask for. But you see how God fashions this. And by the way, I was in a senior citizens dinner. You know, they have these places where senior citizens can go. It's all across the country. I think I was in Kansas when I went to this. Some church there, a man invited me to go and my wife to this dinner at noon at some senior citizens center. And very good dinner, very cheap, $3 or something, probably subsidized by the government. And they have this, there's this man and woman that run it, and they get paid by the government to feed the senior citizens. And so they started their dinner with quoting this prayer. And I felt real uncomfortable. I really did. Because I'm thinking as I go in there, I'm thinking, Lord, maybe give me an opportunity to talk to somebody about Christ. And the truth is, most of them in there needed to be talked about Christ. But they use this, and they're very, religious in doing this. And they could almost all of them say it by heart. They didn't have to open the Bible. They quoted it. But that shows you how our thinking is sometimes. We say things, we know things, but we don't understand things. We are thoroughly aware of Scripture, but we don't understand what it means or apply it in the right way. And that's true in our churches, too, in many cases. That we know a verse, but we don't really recognize what it's teaching, what it's really saying. So when he comes to the end and he says this is how we ought to pray, he's telling us to get your mind focused upon God. Thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory forever. So when we pray, who should our focus be upon? Should be upon God. Now, I'm not saying that many times, I don't know how we can pray without thinking something about God. But see, oftentimes we're coming and our real focus is upon us. Now, we may have a real problem. We may have a real need, and I understand that. But at the same time, God is training us, teaching us how to pray, and he's telling us very strongly to get your mind upon God. Not just that he's real, but what are his desires? What is his focus? What does he want? And what is he? And I fear that sometimes we pray without effect, because we are not understanding how we should be focused. Now, I want to look at this, and thine be the kingdom, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The Lord really is all in all. This is his world. This is his kingdom. This is his universe. This is his ability and effect. The stars shine because of his power. The life is in us, physical life, because of his work. It's thine is the power. And therefore, thine is the glory. It's all about him, and it all should be about him. He has my life in his hands. He has my future in his hands. He is all power. He is everything. He is the creator, sustainer. He is the future. Therefore, thine is the glory. Now, as we go through this a little bit, I hope that we'll think and because our thinking sometimes is so practiced in the wrong way, it's hard to reverse it and get it to be thinking in the normal way. And it needs to be reversed on all of us to some degree. And nobody is beyond the wrong in these things. And we all need to grow and become more and more focused upon him. Now, I'm not talking, look, sometimes what we do is this. To focus upon God, we dress up in a suit. You know, I don't mean a suit like this. I mean, there's this hat and this mitre, this robe. You follow me? We make things feel holy, you see. And sometimes we try to make things feel holy by even the way we talk. And sometimes we are phony, you see, because we're trying to make things seem holy. And we have to do that sometimes because where are we? We're in church. Well, we should be focused on God. But you see, if we are not really focused on God, then sometimes we have to use things that make statements that we are focused on God. So we don't want to learn a memorized prayer here. And we don't want to say this memorized prayer in some kind of way that really it makes people think we're really praying. What we want to do, and hopefully will, is sense God, His presence, His greatness, His glory, and as we pray, have that in mind, His purpose, not ours. Yielded to Him, not yielded to some need of our own. But genuinely have that in us. So, number one, there needs to be, and I'm going to take from this little phrase, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." There needs to be in us an awareness of these things. And have that awareness practiced. I know what preachers have to do sometimes to get people's attention, but I hope that you'll catch this. When we pray, we need an awareness, and it needs to be practiced. They said that praying Hyde oftentimes would, before he would pray, there would be a time of silence, maybe 5 minutes even. Now, I'm not saying for when we get up here, we're going to wait 5 minutes to pray. You see, we're not trying to practice somebody's practice. But somebody asked him about that, and his response was that he was coming to a place where he was in and understood it being in God's presence. Okay? So there needs to be an awareness which is practiced. Now, we can realize there's a God and very well understand it. And sometimes we're maybe having some immediate problem that we just out of our mouth cries out to God. But when we're alone with God, and there's that serious closet prayer going on, we need to have an awareness that everything has to do with Him. For thine is the kingdom, and thine is the power and the glory forever. An awareness. Who we're talking to. And what He is, and so on. And then, secondly, there should be a belief expressed. Now, I do not mean necessarily in the words that come out of our mouth, but in our prayer, there needs to be a belief. And it is expressed in our asking. It is expressed from our heart as we see Him, understand Him. And by the way, how little we know and how much we need to learn. But in that, then there needs to be a belief expressed. And it's hard to explain this, but at the same time, if you understand and you're aware, are you accepting? Are you believing? And in that, are you expressing that in your way of prayer? Should it be for His glory? And I think there's not anybody here that would disagree with that. But we need to believe and then have an expression in our thinking of that. You remember when Jesus about was at the grave of Lazarus? And he said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." Now, what is Jesus doing? He's changing the focus. You see that? The focus is on the Lord, but the Lord as a man always did what we should be doing. And he's focusing everybody's attention to the Father. "You've heard me. And I know you always hear me. But for the people around me's sake, I said that." Then there should be a desire. Now, we're getting beyond, really, in the second point, the belief expressed, we're really getting beyond our prayer to others. And then this third point really gets into it. It should be a desire for others' acceptance. When we as Christians pray, there's a purpose in that. What is that ultimate purpose of our praying? To get our gallbladder fixed? Is that the ultimate purpose for us asking? Should we ask? Yes. Is that the ultimate purpose for our asking? It isn't, and that needs to be understood and expressed, and the desire. That should be the desire in our praying. There's people that you love, you want to be saved. And that will relieve you and encourage you and strengthen you. That will help you. That will be, if the loved one that you're praying for today got saved, your heart would be expressing great gratitude to God. But you see, that's not the ultimate purpose of your prayer. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, I'm fearful in teaching something on this. For one thing, none of us are experts in this. None of us. Then I'm fearful that we will feel like that we can't ask God because we're not getting all the T's crossed right. And I don't think that's the way we ought to look at this. But we ought to desire to grow and understand more and more that prayer, the ultimate purpose of it is that others would see thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, and thine is the glory. Because this world needs to know God. And when they do, let me say another statement. This world is responsible to God to glorify Him. It is the responsibility of man to let God, I shouldn't say that like that, but put God in our own heart in the place that He deserves. I talked to a young man this week. He was, I think he's around 30 years of age. And he's out on the street. I've known him for some years, since he was probably in his early 20s. He's been hanging around. He's even at times come into the program for long stretches of times. He came in twice. He's back on the street. He left the last time about a year ago. And I think some people in this room would probably be surprised if you had seen him while he was in our program, what I'm going to say now. But he's a lost man. Although he came into the program and had a great deal to say and a great deal of knowledge about the Bible. His father's a pastor in Canada, father and mother, brokenhearted. Over the years, people at the mission have talked to him and talked to his parents even. Because knowing when you have somebody in around 22, 23 out on the street, you wonder about where their mom and dad is and what their problem is in what this man's doing. The sorrow that they must carry and the fears they must have. And so there's been conversation and there's been trying to deal with him and over the years. So I spoke to a message there on skepticism. And I said, if you would like to talk to me and argue, and I've kind of kidded about that, I'm available right afterwards and you can come. And he came up to me, and I talked to him just about every time he comes into a service. And he came up and he said, how can you be sure that there is a God? How can you be sure? And he went on, and I said some things, and he said some things. And then he said, do you wonder if maybe you just believe this because you grew up in it? Now, he knows my background. And he's a preacher's kid, and I'm a preacher's kid. So he knows I know, you see. And I said, so you think we're just brainwashed? And he said, well, I wouldn't use that word, but you see, what happened to him was he grew up in church hearing all these things about God, knowing their mental aspect of them, but not knowing Christ. And I said to him, I said, no. I said, I would never have done what I'm doing, nor would I ever be in church if Christ had not given me a new creation. If he had not saved me. I said, look, I wanted to do all the wicked things. You see? And I'm going to qualify something. Be careful. I wanted to do all the wicked things after I was saved. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. My old nature still wanted to do those things. Now, after I was saved, my new nature didn't want to do those things, so I had this conflict, and the new nature kept winning. It might lose a battle, but it kept winning. You see? Because of the Spirit of God in me. Now, I said to him, you don't understand that. And then I said to him, you grew up. This is the way you grew up. You oftentimes, even as a boy, you were saying to yourself, I can't wait until I can make up my own mind and make my own decisions. And I said, you did that when you were a little boy. You did that as a teen. And you're still doing that today. That is what's wrong. You do not want God controlling you. And you never came to know him where you wanted to obey him and follow him. And you know, he couldn't answer me. He knew what I was saying was true. And in fact, when I said, you've always wanted to do what you wanted to do, and you couldn't wait until you got out from under your parents so you could, he nodded his head, yes. You see, that is the opposite of what this is. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Now, we can say those words and repeat them like a parrot, but we need to have the awareness and practice that awareness and a belief in those things and a desire for others to accept that. And that's the purpose of prayer. Do you remember George Mueller? And here he is, a young pastor in a church that has a pew tax. And you can't come and sit in a good place unless you pay a certain amount. and the pew tax goes to pay for the pastor's salary. George Mueller says, that's not right. And he says, we're not going to do this anymore. And they said, fine, you won't get a salary. And it dawned on George Mueller who he was really dependent upon. Now you hear this. Thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, and thine is the glory. You see that is in him. And he says, fine, I will depend upon his power, his rule, and his glory. Now, what would happen to George Mueller if he starved to death? There wouldn't be much glory for God, would there? And in his day, there was, as today, there was a great deal of raising of money for projects, mission projects, a great deal of trying to raise money for those. And oftentimes, churches were caught up in a focus upon raising money, and it bothered George Mueller. And when God put upon his heart to start orphanages, he wanted to show the kingdom and the power and the glory of the Lord Jesus. And he determined, now I'm not saying this the way everybody ought to do it. I'm not saying that. In fact, these patterns, we can depend on them instead of depending upon God. But what his motivation was the right motivation for prayer. And he wanted people to understand that God didn't depend upon money. And that God could do his work by his own power. That he would then receive the glory for it because he was the ruler. Now, you think that's the right way? Have a desire to pray for thine is the kingdom, and thine is the power, and thine is the glory. And God did get the glory, didn't he? Because he never asked for a penny and helped thousands of orphans coming through their childhood and teens' lives and set them on a course for life. It took millions and millions of dollars even back then without ever asking anything from us. Now you see, I told somebody a couple of years ago, tell the people of the church what's needed. It doesn't hurt us. I'm not saying that we ought to be in the dark as to some need. I don't mean that at all. But that motivation or that understanding or that desire for others to see what God has done and what he is and what he is doing. And by the way, in our weaknesses, that's a good time, isn't it? Somebody said, we're living in a difficult time. Well, these difficult times are the times when God can show his might. And it's a wonderful thing. Do you know, I heard a preacher when I was a young pastor. And this he came out of an organization of churches that was pretty strong. And he didn't do what they wanted him to do, and so they began to ostracize him. And so he quit being a part of that organization. And because they really were asking him to compromise some of his beliefs. So years passed, and now then, this group of churches that he came out of, they had waned somewhat in some areas. But the group that he was now in had grown great, at least in some degrees. And he said, somebody said to him out of this other organization, how does it feel to be on the outside looking in? In other words, he wasn't a part of this great organization anymore. So he said, I turned to that guy and I said, what's the biggest church in? He named a state. And it was of the group that he was in. And what's the biggest church in another state? And it was a church that group that he was in. You see? And so the attitude was, we're making it. Now, aren't you sad? That is the opposite of this spirit, isn't it? Now, our source is not a human personality or a great organizer or a great leader. Our source is God. And we need to know that, have an awareness of it, and practice that awareness and express the belief in it. And express it by action more probably than words, and a desire for others to see it that they might accept that as true. Now, the truth is, people today, many young people today, do not believe they need God. And yet, many of them, like this young man, grew up in church. And when we got through our conversation, and by the way, when he was questioning why God, if there is a God, why God did this or why God did that, I said to him, who are you to answer God? And who am I to answer God? I didn't say these words. Thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power. Thine is the glory forever. And you know what he said to me when I said, who are you to ask? Now, after about 8 years in his condition, he went out to California from another place to be a movie star. And he is very talented. But after all these years, do you know what he said to me, the final thing he said to me? Life is meaningless. And it really is when you do not know God. And if I were an 80, 90, old man, I'm not old. If I was really old and I was about to die, would not life be meaningless? But when you know God, when you really know Him, when there is a spiritual life in you, where you fellowship with Him, where you exchange, He talks to you, you talk to Him. You walk with Him. You know Him. You can say this, and it needs to grow. Thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power. Thine is the glory forever. And you want others to accept that truth. That young man, what a glorious blessing it would be but for him. But what an honor it would be for God. Now, God knows what will honor him. In fact, what he's doing. I was finished with a service, and this is a few weeks ago, and some men came up to me, and they were saying some nice things to me. And this young man came up, and he wanted to talk to me, and we were talking. And they said, do you know him? I said, oh, yeah. I said, he's been in the program. He has been in the program? Isn't that sad? People are saying by their life and by their words, God is not needed. God is not relevant. And where did they get that? In the days of the apostles, there was this acceptance. They had been with Jesus. There was, whether they wanted to yield up to God or not themselves, they had to admit that this singing at midnight, something was different about them. They really believed something. Now, I don't care how much talent you and I have. I've got a beautiful voice. I just got a loud voice. My wife has a beautiful voice. But it doesn't matter. What will that do? The great cathedrals, what will that do? The great abilities that we have, what really will that do? I'm going to tell you something. Mormon Tabernacle Choir can show up any choir in America. But it will not cause a person to surrender unto God. It'll just feed the ego of the person. And by the way, may I tell you, I know this is true. I've been around for a long time. Much of what is today's church is feeding egos. Now, are you surprised that we have a generation of millennials that don't really care about anybody but themselves? What God does is He gets us out of ourselves and focus upon Him. Now, that will change us. I mean, when we come to know Christ as our Savior and pray in that way where it's not about us, but it's about Him, we'll begin to see things in a better light and understanding things better. And I think this would be a wonderful thing if people saw that we really love God above all else. But I fear this is what they're seeing. I'm going to give you a story now in the Old Testament. Do you remember Achan taking the accursed thing? Well, that accursed thing wasn't necessarily in itself something that was wicked. But when God, now watch this, when God, when the nation of Israel came across the Jordan River, and there's a man that comes up, and Joshua says, "Are you for us? Are you on our side or not?" He said, "No, I am the captain of the host. You think I'm just a soldier? I'm the captain." And he said to Joshua, "Take off your shoes. The ground you're on is holy ground." Now, you think that didn't capture Joshua's attention? I mean, he's not an Israelite, is he? It's probably the Lord, don't you think? And he's the soldier, and he's going to do the battle. And what does he give in direction? What does God tell Joshua to do? March around the city once each day for 6 days. And then the seventh time, march around seven times. Now, I tell you what I think that's picturing. I think that's picturing dependence upon God, waiting upon God. Do you think that prayer is dependence upon God and waiting upon God? And then when that seventh time on that seventh day was finished, they all shouted and the walls came down. Now, God had said, "You're not to take anything." And there was the silver and gold. It passed through the fire. What were they? They were to give it to God. Everything else, burn it up. What's God saying? This is my kingdom. It's not yours. This is my power, not yours. This is my glory, not yours. And the very first battle in the actual area of Canaan, that's what happened. And God is saying to the nation, "I'm the one. Look at me. See what I have done. You cannot do it." But Achan took of the accursed thing. He took that which was not to be theirs, which would bring a curse if they kept it. If we take the glory, if it's our kingdom, if it's our power, we are cursed. And you mark it down. And we go out to fight the little city of Ai, and we will be defeated. You You think this is a pretty important part of God telling us how to pray? What is His? For thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power. Thine is the glory. And if we take it, then the world defeats us. And doesn't matter. They could be very weak or very strong. Now, do we ever take the glory? What do you think? Sometimes we have, haven't we? Did you ever see the bus side of it? Friendliest church in town. Biggest Sunday school in the world. That's some of our history. It's pretty dangerous stuff, don't you think? When I was in the convention, Southern Baptist Convention, there was a whole lot of glory. Men were elevated to high positions. They were this over the state of such and such. They were this and that in organizations. And they didn't want anybody to see their dirty laundry. So they put up with the liberalism and the wrongdoing in their churches and in their organizations so that their honor and glory would go on. And now then they're fighting over ordaining women and accepting perversion into their churches. Okay. Serious business. So what do we do? I get 5 minutes here. Maybe a little bit more than that. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. And look, you and I need to really believe this. Some of the reason for the skepticism of the world is because we have not really recognized this glory in God. Now watch this. I have a nephew that is an atheist. And the other day I was talking to him and I said, "What if you do not believe there's a God, then this wood on this table is eternal." And he said, "Well, not necessarily." And I said, "Well, give me another explanation." And he said, "I'll think about it." I said, "Okay, when you find it, give me a call." So this is either eternal or God is eternal. So either this has the glory, I didn't say this, either this has the glory or God has the glory. But what have we glorified today in our world, even Christians, the material? Then I'm thinking, I didn't say this to him, but I said it to some others. I said, "Isn't it amazing that people could say this is eternal? But even more amazing is this, that they believe that this material could somehow all of a sudden be alive. That it could see and hear and function in a lively way, move. And it would do it. It would be the material that just would do it on its own." Now, let me tell you something. That takes a great leap of faith. Tremendous leap of faith. But we have this. In the beginning, God.
Now, don't you think as we focus on that and we become aware of that and we see all of what God has done, all that He's doing, all the grandeur and greatness of God, don't you think if we were focusing on that, we could easily say, Thine is the kingdom, Thine is the power, Thine is the glory. It would not be a memorized statement. It would be a statement that would flow out of our mouth naturally. In all of this greatness of God, we could not help but say it.
Now, the truth is, I fear that we don't have as strong a confidence in this wonderful God as we should.
We've not set and contemplated Him as we should. What is the Bible all about? It's all about a focus upon God and seeing what He's done and what man has done against Him and what God in the end is going to have. It's all about God. God is in charge. And as we get into more of that and understand more of God, and instead of focusing upon our own ways and desires, we begin to focus more and more and more upon Him, then we can more easily say it with a wonderful truth in our own heart, Thine is the kingdom, Thine is the power, and Thine is the glory forever. Amen.
And if we believe that, I wonder if there wouldn't be some people like this young man. You see what he was saying to me? He was really saying, because in the sermon I talked about the material being eternal and that material turning into life. Let's quit being afraid of being fools and let's stand up and speak up and stand for God. Thine is the kingdom, Thine is the power, Thine is the glory forever and ever. All right.